All right, we are officially recording. We've got a few minutes before the beginning of class, but I want to go ahead and take this opportunity for all of us to go over. Well, that's not exactly what I wanted to do. So, this is good practice. All right, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. Let's all say it together. Hopefully you're doing it on your own at home or in the car. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. All right, this week actually, but it was introduced last week, is Jude 1, 21 through 23, and this is emphasizing the fact that we are going to be expressing our grace in multiple different ways. So, keep yourselves in the love of God. I can't hear anybody else.
Keep yourselves in the love of God,
waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. All right, those are two very good ones. This one is the one we're introducing this week, but it will be for next week. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. This is a lot shorter, isn't it? Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That's a whole lot more difficult than it sounds. All right, we have 1 or 2 minutes left. Let's go ahead and start a review here. Does everyone have a copy?
Yes, sir.
Great. And if you want to look ahead, I'm going to eventually need a Tyrone and a Jasmine for our scenario. So be thinking whether you would like to be our readers. Matthew? Got a copy of tonight. Who can tell me why we're studying the subject? Why is it important to study conflict resolution?
So that we may have peace when we are in these situations.
Okay, peace. Yes, peace is exactly what we're looking for. Why is peace important?
Because that's what
God wants.
Okay, that's what God wants. That is what has driven God to do all these things. He wants to have a relationship with us. But he knows that because he's given us the ability to choose, that we're not always going to choose wisely. And here's a copy for you. Here, guys. Grab one as we leave. I'm going to leave the extras up here for you. And all right, so we now have this ministry of reconciliation. Last week we talked about three different types of conflict. Anybody want to take a stab at one of the kinds?
Righteousness.
Okay, a conflict of righteousness. What does that mean?
When someone is, you're trying to teach somebody the gospel and they disagree with what you're saying.
Okay, there's a difference in understanding, but it's in a way that both of them could be right. All right, but we're in two different places, so we're still having conflict. What's the solution for that? We not talk to each other? How do we resolve those types of conflicts, generally speaking? Right, not, okay. Yes, using all of our prerequisites that we're going to get through, but what is the methodology? Are we going to accuse them of sin?
No.
And ask them to repent? No. What are we going to do?
Study.
Exactly. That's what our solution will be, to study the scriptures.
All right. Give me another time of conflict.
Sin.
Sir? Sin. Okay. Sin is a very... a type of conflict that is discussed very often in Scripture. What is the solution for conflict and sin?
It's on the heart of the person.
Okay, it can depend on the heart. Right, right. But when sin is involved, what needs to also be there in order for there to be peace?
Repentance.
Right, all right. We'll be talking about how that... how it's easier from using God's principles to make that happen. All right, the last one, which is one that comes up the very most in our lives, are conflicts of differentness. All right, conflicts that happen because we are coming at a particular subject from two different places. Depending on where you grew up, what language you speak, what your cultural backgrounds are, your family's values... all those good stuff. What's the solution for resolving those types of conflict?
Sit down and study.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we can study, but realistically, the way we resolve those is tolerance, forbearance. All right. I like a particular kind of food, and my wife doesn't like that particular kind of food. Do we need to study the Bible to find out who's right? Do we need to tell each other to repent? No. One of us, or both of us, need to be willing to forbear, to bear with the other person. All right. That's as much as review, and I kind of cheated a little by starting early. So let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer, and we'll get into tonight's session. Father, you are so good to us. We acknowledge you as the initiator of love, you who have created everything, and the purpose behind which you have shown us over and over, that you have shown your humility and your condescension to come down and to want to be with us. Help us to be inspired by that example. May we look to our own lives and see how we can submit ourselves to others, to be more like you, to give you glory, to help show others a path to the relationship and peace that we have with you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, session two. This is going to be, last week we talked about the introduction, types of conflicts, the four different types of prerequisites. This second session now is going to be talking about the first prerequisite. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, what are the four? Humility, gentleness, meekness, and forbearance. All right, and you can probably cheat into verse 3 and have a fifth one if you really want to, and that is the idea of giving diligence or being eager. Alright, so the first one is humility. The verse we're going to look at to help illustrate that overall is one that we have looked at more recently when Lance was going through James with us. James 4 is just full of this concept. As a matter of fact, the book of James generally, as a practical book of how we interact with each other, is filled with this idea of submitting yourselves, therefore, to the Lord. And ending up in verse 10, submit yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. So let's talk about what it means to be humble. In the Old Testament, which was written in what language?
Greek.
No.
Hebrew.
Hebrew. Eventually it would be translated into Greek, the Septuagint. And that's the version that Jesus would quote. Did they use the word humble in Hebrew? That's a good question. When God tried to convey this idea of humility, He used two different words. He used the first word, ana. And that's our word in Psalms 35 that David talks about. Well, let's turn there. Brian, if you've got that, if you're moving towards that, if you'll read Psalm 35, verse 13 for us. And then, and Terry, eventually, if you'll look up 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, we'll look at that as a different facet. All right, Les, would you mind reading Psalm 35, verse 13?
But I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest.
Okay. Did you hear the word humble there? I didn't. Did you hear the concept of humility? What was David's reaction when he realized he had sinned?
Sackcloth.
All right. He put sackcloth on. What else did he do?
Fasted.
He fasted. What else?
Prayed.
What else did he do?
Begged for forgiveness.
Okay, begged for forgiveness. There's one particular word here I'm looking for in this section.
Humble.
Okay, some translations may use the word humble.
Head bowed.
Okay, head bowed. The idea of when you acknowledge somebody else as more important than you, you act towards them in a particular way to express that sense that you were acknowledging that. I meant to do this as an example to bring it up and I forgot. In South Africa, amongst the Bendas, when you are greeted, when you say hello to a woman, this is how she greets you. She doesn't look at you. She bows, sometimes with her knee all the way to the ground, sometimes kind of like a curtsy, with the left hand attached to the right hand, as a demonstration that she's acknowledging, you are more important than me. Now that's cultural, and that's expected, no matter how old you are. If you are a woman and you are greeting a man, then that's how you demonstrate your humility. Who else is supposed to be humble?
All of us.
All of us, right. And I meant to greet everybody that way and not explain it. Because it was jarring to me as a young man having someone who was old enough to be my grandmother or great-grandmother act that way towards me. And it was jarring enough that I was embarrassed by it. No, I'm the one who should be bowing down. And so the second or third time, I can't remember when, I tried to do that to an older woman. And she was appalled. She was like, no, don't do that. Because she saw it as being disrespectful, as if I was joking, or it just was not her culture. If you think back, Simone already answered this question. Well, let me come back to that in a second. Okay, so that's the first example, to abase, to physically put yourself in a position to show that you are being humble. Notice the way David described. When was the last time that you acknowledged your sin and wanted to demonstrate your humility, that you did something out of the ordinary? Physically, to show that. Well, I'll answer for you, for me. It's been a while. I think if I have to look at my life honestly, some of the big times in my life where I really wanted to express that, I actually laid down on the ground. But that was in private. I've done that towards my wife. But it helps us to realize what we're trying to do. Sometimes we will make this so cerebral and think, well, yes, it's the heart that God wants. But many times, like our singing, like our other forms of worship, if it doesn't start coming out of your pores, is it really there? And I don't mean to challenge anybody's spirituality, but I want us to rethink through this idea of how we demonstrate to one another, because this is all about reconciliation. How does somebody else, how do we help other people see that we are trying to be humble, to abase ourselves? And that's where we're going to get to this other facet here that the Old Testament speaks of, and that is Kana, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Who was it that I asked? Did I ask? Terry, thank you.
If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
All right, this is a different word than the one David was using to describe how he went through all these physical things to try to express his bringing himself as a king down to as low as possible. This is talking about submission. Is that more familiar to us? Do we use that word more often? All right. What does it mean to submit?
To give in.
To give in, to yield. Very good. Can you think of the... I'm hoping that as we talk about these things, the different types of conflicts will be going through your head, and you'll see, oh, okay, I can see how that would help. So let's talk about our conflict of differentness for just a second. Would being willing to submit to that person help to resolve? Yes. Would our resistance to submit affect the resolution? Yes. All right. Very good. In Greek, in the New Testament, you have this word tapaenos. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, that is talking about a contrast, and we're going to be looking at that. Our next section of the class will be looking at a checklist here, and we're going to be looking at our own lives about whether we are expressing humility or arrogance, whether our heart is trying to submit or whether we are showing pride. Mike, do you have 1 Peter 5, verse 6?
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time.
In this verse and in many other verses that are talking about this word, this is an adjective. This is a descriptive word, but there's something that it's describing. All right? Who is it that this attitude is describing? Are we to humble the dog?
Ourselves.
Ourselves, okay? Don't lose sight of that. It is something that we are consciously choosing to do. And it needs to be conscious, because when it's subconscious, if we haven't had lots and lots of practice, what is our default setting?
Arrogance.
All right, well, let's look at that. Our little checklist here. I want you to take this home, obviously. We'll spend a little bit of time right now looking at it. But I want you to look at it first at yourself. Examine yourself, as the scriptures say. Test yourself. Then I want you to do one next step, and that is find somebody that knows you well and ask them to answer these questions for you. I am very blind in some ways about whether I'm good or need to work really, really hard at some of these areas. Some of them stand out, yeah, Tim, you need to work on this. And some I think I'm doing pretty well until I ask my children. Yeah, Dad, that's an area that you need to work on. So, ask somebody else as well. First question, when people disagree with you, do you argue for your position? Who doesn't do this? And why do you choose to do it or choose not to do it? Sometimes I may choose not to argue for my position, because I realize I don't know very much about the subject and I'm going to embarrass myself. But if I think I know something about the subject, guess what? You're getting the response from Tim. What is that? Am I demonstrating humility? Or am I demonstrating that I have something that you should hear? Do you tend to cut off those who ignore you? Well, if he's not going to pay me any attention, then... I'm walking away from that. I'm not wasting my time on people that are not going to fawn all over me. All right. Are you hurt when those you dislike are honored? Wow. Say you've had a disagreement with somebody, and you've built up this resentment. And they do something, whether it's deserved or undeserved, and everybody else is saying, "Great job, Les." And you're over there, "Oh, you know, if they only knew what I know about him." What is that demonstrating about you?
Jealousy.
Yeah, where does jealousy come from? All right. Do you find it difficult to admit you were wrong? Do you inwardly react when people criticize you? And this one got me mad because I thought I was doing great if I keep it on the inside. Ooh, that hurt, but I'm gonna be tolerant, I'm gonna forbear. Go ahead, criticize me. But what's going on the inside? Are you really just waiting until you're by yourself or with somebody else to then bring it all up? All right. Do you give your opinions before being asked for them? How many of you have had that happen by me? Since we... All right, this is very illustrative for me. I'm an enthusiastic sharer. Unfortunately, if I'm not careful, I want to share when it's not needed. All right? But it's a good illustration of how much I think of myself. Do you enjoy sharing about your accomplishments? Ooh, let me tell you, I had a good day today. I was honored. This worked out well because I did this really well. Now, there is a natural way in which we want to share, but is this your modus operandi? Anything good? Ooh, let me share with everybody. What's the flip side of that?
Keep all your bad thoughts to yourself.
Exactly. When we don't share the challenges in our life. Right. All right. Very good. Do you talk more than you listen? James chapter 1, 19 and 20. Let's memorize it together. Are you more concerned about your reputation or God's? Oh, the older I get, this is one that is more challenging. When I was younger, it was probably easier for me to take it on the chin. Yeah, I'm still growing. But now, I'm in my 40s. People should think more of me. But in a conflict, if that is what's motivating me, am I going to bring about reconciliation? Well, I'm more concerned about how people see me. And my reputation. Ooh. So, it's God's reputation, and therefore we are going to act humbly. Do you give the impression that you have no problems? Think back on your conversations this morning at church with people. When somebody asked how you were doing, what did 80% of us say? All right. I'm sure that many things in your life are good right now. But when we're connecting with each other, is that really the image that we are wanting to pretend? That everything is good? What is that really demonstrating about ourselves? Now, I'm not saying to flip the coin and just, everything is going horribly. But let's look at ourselves and see what is going to bring peace to potential conflicts. What is our default setting? How humble are we? Do you seek ways to humble yourself? What if you have a responsible position at work? And you oversee people, How is it that you could demonstrate this by physically humbling, or not physically, by demonstrating your humility, by humbling yourself? What does that look like?
In the trenches with them and do what their job is with them.
Okay. Spend a day actually doing their job so that they understand that you appreciate the job they're doing. All right. Give me a different example. How could a parent humble themselves?
Listening to their children.
Okay, listening to the children. I'm thinking about something more than just listening.
Put themselves in their child's shoes and how they feel about, you know, I mean, like, a good example, Libby's had a little splinter in her foot, and she had a cow about wanting to get it out.
Mm.
And she's scared about it, but we see it as it's not going to hurt. She doesn't see that. She thinks it's going to hurt. And, you know, we get upset, and we did, that she wouldn't let us take care of it. And, but if you step back for a minute and put yourself in her shoes, she's a 7-year-old that doesn't, she thinks something like that's going to hurt.
Oh.
So it's the same type of things that sometimes we need to, as parents, step back and put ourselves in their shoes as to what are they feeling and what would we have felt at that age, and try to understand where they're coming from. And certainly there's things that need to be corrected, but things like that, it's legitimate, you know. They're scared.
Sometimes fears can be that way. If they're afraid of the dark, if they're scared of conflict, if they're scared of public speaking, if they're scared of whatever, what's your default reaction to that?
Grow up.
Grow up, get over it. Is that God's reaction to us? Is that the description of Christ? All right, we'll be coming back to some of these in a second. All right, do you do things for praise and compliments? This was one area that I was really, really bad when I was a young man. And I'm still bad at it, but I'm really trying to do better at it. What happens when somebody praises you for doing something well? What is your reaction? That's what I want you to think about. Okay. Sorry, what were you going to say? What did you say? Okay.
Sometimes we beat our chest.
Yes. Look at me. That was really good, wasn't it? Yeah. Come back next week. I'll do it again. Right. And if that's our motivation, how is it going to come out in how we accept praise? Now, sometimes we can accept praise really badly. We can, oh no, that was horrible. No, I could have done much better.
Trying to build yourself up on the slack.
We may be fishing for compliments. Oh no, 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 Tim, that was really good. Let me tell you. No, I was really bad. No, no, no. All right. I was very accomplished at that. But what is that a function of? Pride, okay? That is what, in my relationships, I'm looking for. I'm wanting you to be impressed with me instead of being impressed with God. Are you quick to correct others when they make mistakes? What does that look like to the person who made the mistake? Now, is it our role in some cases to help people, to help correct people? Amen. What did that ask? Are you what?
Quick.
All right. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Are you quick? Ooh, because you're just bursting with thinking you have all the knowledge. As soon as you hear somebody, it may not even be your conversation. Have you been guilty of this? Hearing somebody else's conversation. Ooh, I got the solution for that. Let me insert myself in this conversation. Now, men can be excessively challenged in that area. Are you number 15, do you react when you do not receive credit you are due? In the work environment, this is very easy to see in the world. But it's equally true in our relationships in Christ. When Paul talks about one being honored, what is everybody's reaction supposed to be?
Rejoice.
And we celebrate with them. When someone is suffering, what is our reaction?
We suffer with them.
We suffer with them. Well, if we're the one on the receiving end, and we don't like it, if people don't notice when we're due some nice kudos, that is actually demonstrating that we are thinking too much of ourselves.
Do you feel important?
One of my first sermons was on proper self-worth. In the scriptures where you have one extreme where people don't consider themselves important, they can't accomplish anything, they don't see a role, they're not even worth God's time and effort and sacrifice. But the other end of the spectrum, where we're thinking we are all important and we know everything and you just need to ask me, I've got the solution for you. The proper self-worth. So obviously, yes, there is a certain amount of importance that God places on us. And that is definitely where we need to be. But this question is really asking, do you feel important? All right. Do you compare yourself to others rather than God? 2 Corinthians here, Paul describing those people who were demonstrating their arrogance by saying, oh yeah, I'm better than you. Watch this. All right. Yes, sir.
Well, I think this is a fantastic exercise in going home and evaluating yourself. Having done that today, it is also an opportunity for conflict will quickly arise.
Yes, it is. Especially when you go to the next stage of asking the person.
Right, because when
close
I give this to Kelly and I said, okay, you do this about me. You know, it's quickly an exercise in humbleness and gentleness.
That's true.
So while I encourage everybody to do it, just be aware that we may bring up things you're not sure of.
That's right.
Or not aware of.
Right.
And they not like that.
Exactly. But this is part of that self-examination. Humility is a prerequisite. This is necessary for us to be a part of who God wants us to do so that we can do His work. Luke 18 is the big example we're going to look at besides Christ. There are so many good examples in scriptures, but for time's sake, we'll look at the quick comparison that Jesus gives by noticing the Pharisee and the publican. We don't even have to go there. I think we're familiar with this story. For time's sake, the Pharisee comes in. What is his physical stance? How does he demonstrate his inward attitude? Stands very prominently. Makes sure everybody hears him. Watches him. I thank you, God, that I am not like other men. And he lists all the good things that he's doing. And then he even compares himself to the tax collector next to him. And what does the tax collector do?
He bows down to his head.
He confesses how.
Have mercy on me.
What was the usual way in which people prayed if you were a good Jew?
You face to the ground.
Well, there are many different ways that the scripture demonstrates how people pray in the Old Testament. But if you had a good relationship with God, that was demonstrated usually by looking up with your arms raised and, you know, we are good. And that's what this Pharisee was trying to demonstrate. We're good. I don't need to come up and ask for forgiveness or anything, because I'm great. You and I are good. But the attitude of humbleness, of physically like David humbled himself, changed what he was wearing, changed what he said, changed his position. That was demonstrating I need you. I'm trying to show you that you are greater than me. And that's what the tax collector did. Would not even raise his head. But what else did he do?
Smote his chest.
There was some smiting going on. Thankfully not by God. Alright. When was the last time you were so distraught with a sin that you were struggling with or that you had committed and was trying, and it just came out in your physical way you were trying to describe that? That's what we see in the Old Testament. So distraught. How did David describe? I filled my bed with my tears. There's some poetic license there. But it should be an expression because it's coming from the inside. So that's a good example of our key verse here in James 4, verse 6. What did Jesus say about those two? One was demonstrating arrogance, the other was demonstrating humility. Exactly. Humble yourself, and the Lord will exalt you. What's the flip side of that? Pretend that you're all that. Lord, just ask Nebuchadnezzar how that worked out for him. All right, very good. Our perfect example, Philippians chapter 2. Let's spend a couple minutes there. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, are, that's going to be our memory verse, verse 3. But verse 5 and through 8 is going to be the example, our perfect example of how Jesus, like David, physically showed his humility. And we can spend a lot of time describing how Jesus, by his incarnation, by coming to the world, demonstrated his humility. What's a couple things that pop up in your mind?
Who wants to wear a diaper?
Okay. Thank you. I never thought of that. If you're God, do you really want to wear a diaper? Alright. What else?
Coming as an infant. I mean, I'm
sure.
Not
sure. Why did you just come as a man, already fully grown, where you can be in your prime? Alright, what else?
He was born in a barn.
Okay, born. I don't know if he was born in a barn, but yes, in a manger, in a stable. Sometimes they were in caves, but yes, barn. Is that place for God to be born? What would a king today think if he was trying to impress everybody by his pedigree and his heritage, and this is why I should be king? So do they point to? Do they point to all the...
They point to all their riches and...
Right, all the impressive things. Okay. Yeah, my dad was king. My dad, my grandfather before that was king. All right. Jesus, who was God, who created everything, humbled himself. This is a purposeful act. Sometimes somebody else humbles us. God humbled Nebuchadnezzar. When you lose a match badly, the other team humbled you. You're embarrassed with the outcome. But we are talking about purposefully humbling ourselves, right? Not because we think we are worthless, but we are demonstrating God's humility that he has. Is there anybody that you can think of that demonstrated more humility than what Christ did? And how do we count Christ? What did God do for Christ? Right. He is now the right hand of God. He is our high priest. He is the one who showed us how to do this. That is our demonstration. All right, so our scenario. It's going to be a longer scenario, so we're going to pull things out of this. We're not going to focus on different types of conflict.
And we're going to have one particular conflict that we're going to pull out and notice how this concept of humility or pride affects this conversation. So we're going to be asking yourself, what is the fruit of the heart that's demonstrated by these words? By your fruits, they will know you. The words that we speak will judge us in the last day. Which barriers did pride erect in this scenario? Or which barriers did humility remove? All right. Anybody feel like being a Tyrone tonight? Terry? All right. Does that mean you're going to be Jasmine?
Yes, because Terry and I do this.
Well, there is a reason I picked this scenario. This is one that Simona and I have been very familiar with as well. All right. Tyrone, begin us.
This is
Jasmine. All right. Really loudly so everybody can hear.
Honey, are we lost?
No, we're not. I know exactly where we are.
But we passed this gas station 6 times already.
It was 3. I know it around here somewhere.
Well, maybe we should stop and ask for directions.
That's not necessary. It's got to be around here somewhere.
Okay, but we're already 10 minutes late.
I think it's just around the corner.
I think we're lost.
We're not lost.
I thought you said you knew where how to get there.
I do know how to get there from work.
There's that gas station again. Would you please?
I think I'll go in and ask for direction.
All right. I could probably speak the next 20 minutes on my own failure in this area. But I'll open the floor. Anybody else want to share? Okay, Jasmine.
One time when we were going down there to get my driver's license.
Oh, no. I'm not wanting you to tell her in person. No.
I was just reenact the whole thing.
All right, we're trying to resolve conflict, not stir up conflict. All right, let's go back to... That's on me, sorry. Let's go back to our actual scenario. And let's talk about who said what and what that demonstrated. All right. First of all, what type of conflict is this?
Differences.
Okay, this is a conflict of differences. All right. How is the husband used to finding things?
His way.
His way. All right.
Try to help.
My wife has always helped me see the value in stopping and asking for directions. However, I have always tried to impress on her how good I am at maps and remembering where things are so that we can save time by not having to stop and ask for directions. Sometimes that works out just fine because I generally have a good sense of direction. But on the occasions where it doesn't, there is conflict. What is my reaction going to be? What is Tyrone's reaction here? When do you first sense that there's a conflict?
When she says
you can even hear the sigh, right? All right, Jamie, you and Mary are in the running for the best readers here. So far. All right. You can sense, many of us have been in a similar situation where we know what's going on in their mind. And do you think this is the first time this has happened in their relationship? No. So what do you think is many times coloring this conflict?
All the past conflicts.
All the past conflicts and how they were handled, whether well or not well. So, this is a good lesson for us to start thinking about the fact that when we reconcile with one another, what happens to that event?
It's gone, you get it.
Okay, well, it's impossible to forget, but it is paramount that we no longer hold it against that person. We forgive as who?
As Christ forgave us.
Right. As your Heavenly Father forgave you. God told the Israelites, I will remember it against you no more. I will sweep that as far from the east as it is from the west.
Our tendency often is to do what?
Bring it back up.
Bring it back up. Every time this happens. Tim, you left your clothes on the floor. He hasn't. All right. Let us look and see. How are we going to demonstrate humility in helping to resolve that?
Well.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, after we recognize that it's a conflict of difference, all right, we need to do that in our mind so that we understand what the solution is. What's the solution? Forbearance and care. Love demonstrated for one another. As a husband, who initiates that love and care? I do. Who initiated it with us? God did. All right, Christ did for the church. And as a husband, or if we're not talking about a husband and wife, brother and sister in Christ, or somebody out in the world, it is each of our responsibility to initiate, to humble ourselves just as God did, and say, you know what? In my mind, I think we could get there a whole lot easier if we didn't have to stop and ask. There's probably going to be a lineup and be rude. It would be rude for me to just ask. I've got to stand in line and wait for my turn and then ask him. And the chances are they don't know where. They're probably giving directions where the old barn used to be. Those are the things that are going on in my mind. But what have I forgotten?
What about what's going on in her mind?
Exactly. My care is still not for her. My care is for my own sake. For my sense of efficiency, what is good for time. And that's where this conflict continues to arise, because Jasmine didn't feel that there was much concern for her. Because what was Tyrone's response?
What was the dishonest?
Yeah. I know it's around here somewhere. How many times had they gone past that gas station?
Six or three.
And here's...
We're laughing, but I'll tell you what. In my mind, as a man, when I hear my wife disagreeing with me, my mind immediately pulls her words apart to find, oh, yep, that's inaccurate right there. And that's what I wave back at her. No, not six, only three times. But what did I forget? She's speaking with her emotions. She's trying to demonstrate how she is feeling about this, and I did not get the message. And I just demonstrated to her that I did not get the message by trying to pick apart a part of the message that wasn't important and stand on that. Oh yeah, I'm right, I get to keep doing what I want to do. Alright, that is not demonstrating love or humility, that's demonstrating arrogance. When we pick somebody's argument apart to try to point out this little segment of it is inaccurate. What could Tyrone have done at that particular point?
How would it have helped to stop and ask for directions?
Be good if he could sit out and stop. You go in and get directions.
All right, let's suggest that that might be a good opportunity to stop at the gas station and ask his wife to go in and get directions. That may be a good compromise, all right? And if that resolves it where both of you are happy, genuinely, rather than you feeling, yeah, I gave him a little, but I got it. I got the best out of it. Is that really what God is trying to demonstrate in his reconciliation? Yeah, you guys, I'm forgiving you, but just so you know, I got the best end of this deal. No. He went out of his way to take on the hurt, to take on the wrong. What did Paul tell the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6 when they were going to court against one another?
It's better to be defrauded.
It's better to be defrauded. Right? That is what it means to humble yourself, to take the wrong, to realize perhaps in your own mind, okay, I may be right, I'm probably right about this, but that's not what's going to resolve this. And that's not what's going to show love. What's going to show love, because this is a difference in perspective, difference in background, is I am going to do it purposefully your way to demonstrate love and care and humility. All right. What are some of the ways that Jasmine showed that she was being humble?
She was forbearing with me, went around 6 to 3 times.
Right. What about the first? What about the first 2 5 times that they went past the gas station and she hadn't said anything yet?
I think just by the fact that she starts out, I mean, you didn't include a huff, so I'm going to assume there wasn't a huff in this, but, you know, she starts out by saying, well, but if she said honey,
right, that's true.
As opposed to, like, if it were us, I'm like, if I would go, Tim, is that honey? And be...
And not the
my tone
honey.
Is different.
I'm familiar with that version, too.
And asking a question. Are we lost? Or saying, honey, we're lost.
Right.
You know, I mean... It,
are we lost?
Right. Where's it? That's an excellent way of
really
showing.
Are you enjoying going around that gas station just that much?
All right. I want this to spark a conversation that you have with yourself. All right. Go through that list. Look at yourself. Have somebody else look at you that knows you well enough that you trust their opinion of you. Reevaluate where you are and how you look back at the conflicts you've had this week. We've all had some. I don't mean that they've been sinful necessarily. I've had some of those too. But look at the conflicts in your life and see how you can initiate to purposefully humble yourself, to bring yourself low for the sake of love and forbearance. All right, we are out of time. Since we've already gone over the memory verses, we won't do that during class period. Next week, we're going to be talking about the second prerequisite, and that is meekness/gentleness. All right, that's another Greek word that our English has difficulty in saying exactly, but I think the more we talk about this, the more we're going to see that from the illustrations, it is very easy to see what these attitudes are supposed to be like. Any questions or comments before we finish? All right. Brian, would you close this?
Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you, and we're so amazed that we can call you our Father, and you consider us your children. A beautiful relationship that was brought upon us by your grace. And we always admire you and praise you. And you're an amazing God. You put the stars up in the sky and the moon and the rivers and the tides and the little insects and it's just amazing, your amazing power. And we need to say that more. I need to say that more. This evening that we're gathered here together as Christians in this room in Sharpsburg, and we're trying to better ourselves, understanding you and understanding our relationship to you, and understanding our relationship to one another. And please bless Tim and his abilities to teach us from your Holy Scripture, and we as students may apply it to our own lives and make our lives better. Not that you want to make us follow a rigid routine, that you want us to have happiness, and the most happiness that we can have is following your word. And we pray that you are with the ones that would like to be here. I know Larry and Melita would be here, and we praise you for seeing this procedure went correctly and his heart, and we pray that you would comfort that family as Larry recovers. There are also others that are going to get operations this week. Wanda's going to have operation, and we ask that it go smoothly in the hands of the doctors will be skillful, and her recovery will be swift, if it be your will. There are also others that we don't know about, and others that are traveling. We ask for their safe return to their destinations, and we always want to remember your son, the Christ, who died, nailed on that cross, the cruel cross at Calvary, and he was covering our sins, and it's such a great, great gift. Thank you for your goodness, kindness, and mercy, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.